When I was a little kid, I remember one night my dad picked me up from school. I was in second grade. He picked me up from school on the way home. It was a blizzard, and I didn't even know that he was going to pick me up. I just walked out of the school building, and there he was sitting. But on the way home in the car, the music of that song was playing, and I loved it, and I loved it ever since then. And I didn't even know the words to it, but it was always my favorite music. And once in a while, Dad would have it on the radio, and I'd get a chance to hear that. Back in those days, we didn't have all the Walkmans and all the things that we can listen to music then, so it was a rare occasion that I got to listen to music or something like that. But thank you for singing that. I think that's very appropriate. Today, we need to pause and remember the event 10 years ago. I think everybody here is old enough to remember that morning, to remember when we first heard about it. I was driving down the new freeway that was almost done after all during the reconstruction. I was headed to work, and I worked for small airlines. We did flight training and cargo flights and had a flight school and did charter flights. And I heard the news that the tower had just been hit, and the second one, I got to watch on TV as the second one got hit when I got to work. But I remember the feelings. I remember the awe and the shock, the dismay, the terrible feelings, the terrible blackness, and the terrible, terrible tragedy that was. And that whole day, everybody was glued to it, everybody at work. Because I was in the airlines, I was instantly checking all the flight students, checking to see who might have come into the country through flight schools and stuff. So I remember the trauma and the pressure that they had on everybody. I remember that night watching the newscasts and watching the buildings as they came down, and people jumping out of the buildings, the tragedy of that. And I recorded it. I don't watch it very often because it was so much trauma. But that day, it brought the nation together. The next day became a day of service, but a divided country was pulled together. Politically, both sides came together. People went to their churches. People reconnected with God that day, and that's what we need to remember, and we need to stop and reflect and reconnect ourselves with God from time to time. Remember those tragic moments. So if you will take time today, stop and be grateful for the grace that God gave us, for saving us, for what he's taught us. I heard some comments, somebody was talking about the other day, that the lady, that her brother is the one that was killed in the towers. She talked about the anger and the bitterness and the darkness that she felt from it, and she carried that for a couple of years. And finally she realized that the one that was hurting the most was her. And so she resolved to take it to God and let go and accept his grace and his peace. And so she's accepted that. But what an experience. And we do hold bitterness and pain, and we need to learn to trust God and let him take that from us. Have you ever had a wow experience in your life? Hopefully we have a lot of them. A couple of years ago at Christmas time, I had a grandson that was either 3 or 4. I think he was 3. So what he wanted for Christmas is a great big bubble gum machine. His folks weren't able to do too much to take care of Christmas, but I knew that's what he wanted. I found out that's what he wanted, and I got to be the provider to help with it that year, which was a blessing. But I went shopping, and finally I found this nice big bubble gum machine, and so I got that for him to give him for Christmas. And that's all he talked about for days. So I went and signed a contract with the dentist, you know. And signed my life on the line. So he got that, and I was excited, and it was over, and they opened all the presents. Well, when they got done, I had a few more presents that I'd, you know, just little extra things to go with Christmas, nothing expensive, but just some things. And I got them. It was a surprise. I wasn't expecting, but I went and bought I knew the bubble gum wasn't going to vary. The package that came with it wasn't going to last very long. So I went and bought this great big gallon bottle full of bubble gum, and I was carrying it down the stairs. You know, they have all these log stairs, and And he looked up. He didn't even know I was going to bring something, but he looked up and he saw me, and I didn't have that wrap. I didn't have any wrap. I got one bottle in, and he saw that big gallon of bubble gum. He looked at it. His eyes got bigger than horse's eyes, and, you know, and he had this stunned look on his face, and he goes, "Wow!" And that's all we heard the rest of the day. He was so, in fact, I was deaf the rest of the day, so that's all the last thing I heard. But the excitement that he had with that, and all the kids got into it too, and because I knew the kids all be jealous, they all got little tiny bubble gum machines that their grandma gave them, so they didn't have to just rob his constantly. But that was an awesome experience. And that was one of my funnest Christmases. Christmas is always for kids, but that was the most excited I'd ever seen a kid be in my whole life. I wasn't going to tell you this one. I have another one. I have my oldest daughter. She was in first grade. All she wanted for Christmas was a bicycle. And so we got one. There wasn't room to put it in the living room. With all the rest of Christmas stuff there. So we had a split entry house. So as you walk in, there's a landing. Well, we just stuck the bicycle there. Well, the kids were all upstairs that night sleeping before Christmas, and they walked past, and she walked by and didn't see the bicycle. I was kind of a mean jerk, and my wife scolded me very soundly after that. But anyway, she walked by, and she went out, and she just seen the little piles of stuff, and all the kids got, "Oh, Kelly, look what you got. You got just exactly what you wanted. You got this Barbie doll." And, you know, went over and saw what Leslie. "Oh, Leslie, look at this neat stuff you got. This is, you know," and she went over and saw this pile of stuff of hers, and she says, "Oh, look what I got. This is just what I needed." And she had big tears in her eyes. It hurt me worse than it hurt her. And I finally gave in. I says, "Megan, look down by the door. I think there's something down there for you." And she saw the bike, and she says, "Oh, that's just what I wanted." And she started bawling. It broke me up more than it did her. You can tell. Anyway, it was an exciting wow moment, and it was exciting for her, and she tells that to her kids. One more time, I worked in the coal mines, and I was able to get lump coal. Thank you. Between the song, wasn't planned. We gave all the kids. I had lumps of coal, so I washed them, and when the kids woke, and they'd been naughty sometimes during that year, so when they woke up in the morning, they saw a lump of coal at the end of each one of their beds. And they started bawling. Oh, they just knew that they'd lost it for sure. So they dragged their tail ends in, you know, and they were really repentant, all right. God works in mysterious ways. And the fun thing about that one was my daughter has a preschool, and she tells that story every year to the kids about how the lump of coal that they got. And every one of my kids has shared that story, and that's what, when we talk about Christmas and get together, they always remind us of that story. And I've had a lot of neat wow experiences in my life. A couple years ago, I went to Synergy, and it was a wow experience. And it finally made it, so I finally talked myself into, actually I got kidnapped by two lesbians, Kayleen and Karina. They tried to convert me. They drugged me off to Long Beach to ask for the nations. And I did go very rebelliously, and they nod their heads. And during that opening session that night, there's a really powerful spirit there, and the spirit is really strong. And they looked over at me to see if I was feeling it. And I looked back at them, and I said, "I hate your guts." The spirit was so strong. That was one of the wow experiences that really had a big change in my life. That was the time I will never forget. And after that, my sister and I had a chance to go back up home where we grew up. We spent a whole Saturday. It rained the whole day. But it was beautiful. But we got to talk about our relationship with God and where we were at in our roots. And we shared some neat experiences. And there were some friends that we wanted to visit, but we could see they weren't home, so we drove by. And we both looked at each other a mile down the road and says, we have to go back. We turned around and we went back and had the most awesome visit with friends of both of ours. A really neat spiritual experience that day. And we were brought a lot closer together. We'd always been close, but that was closer. Then last year, for Long Beach, I wasn't going to go. And finally, at the last minute, I decided I would. And rented a van, and Brandy and Jay and Conrad and I took the van down, and Lee met us down there and shared rooms with us. But that was an awesome experience. But a few days before it's time to go, my twin brother went in the hospital with a heart attack. And he was going to have surgery, and had surgery on the day that we was driving down, he was having surgery. And I knew there was a very good chance that he wouldn't make it. And I had a good conversation with his wife before I went. And she says, you need to go. You go with my blessing. If he doesn't make it, when you get back, you'll have plenty of things to do to help. So I went. And I know that Jay's expressed a few times that, you know, and I got the word that he wasn't official, but I knew that he wasn't there anymore. They was worried that I was, not necessarily worried, but just expect me to turn around and drive back home. But I didn't. And the Spirit was so strong down there. It was an awesome conference. There were neat blessings for me. But I saw each person in that group and everybody else was there all get something. I saw Brandy change from doubting everything, and on the way home, she was just so excited the whole way back, you know. The third day, finally, what she was looking for hit her. It was such an awesome experience. God has ways of bringing wows into our life. A couple weeks ago, and then Synergy this last year, I had to work on Friday and Saturday, so I didn't get to be up there for those parts of it, but I knew I still had to be there, and I kept fighting it. And I also knew somebody was going to be there that I really had some bitterness and anger towards, and I almost talked myself out of going. But a few people wanted to ride up there, so we went up, and I'm glad I went. And after Janet Parker got done with her message, she did offered prayers for us. And I'd had some blessings. I found out I had heart problems too, and I'd had blessings, and they were great. Physically, my heart was doing as well as it could. And I wasn't going to stand up. I didn't have a need. And the Spirit says, Glade, you got to go stand up and go get a blessing. And I kept arguing with it. Finally, I says, all right, you know, I got tired of being pushed. And I received an awesome blessing. It wasn't to heal my physical heart, but to heal my spiritual heart. But in that blessing, I was told that I wasn't told that the pain was going to go away or that I'd forgive or forget, but I was told that I had to go ask the person that I had that bitterness towards to forgive me for the feelings that I had towards them. That was the toughest thing I ever had to do in my life, if I followed what I was commanded to do or told to do. So I went to that person. I'm not sure that anything in their life ever changed, but it changed my life, and the pain was lifted, the anger and the bitterness was lifted, and since then my life has been a lot different. And so that, God pressed it on my mind to talk about that, to use that to talk about his grace and forgiveness and stuff today, so that was awesome. And I had a video that I had on my computer, or at least a website, that I saw a while ago, and I just wanted to look at that because I needed some, just wanted some Spirit to help tie into what I'd already kind of thought I had prepared. Because I wanted to find a picture but also hear this talk. So in the middle of that, I saw some pictures that were taken from outer space, okay? How many of you ever saw there's a little video that was put out a long time ago called The Power of 10. It took a centimeter out of your hand, and they went out in the universe to the power of 10, and you could see all the galaxies and the millions and trillions and billions of miles out there, and how the whole solar system works. Then on the other side of it, it goes into our body, into the reverse pattern of that same solar system. And it is so awesome. Well, out in the solar system with the Hubble telescope that was sent up in about 1977, they got out there and was able to take a picture. My computer got crashed and they don't have some connected up, so I couldn't send some pictures that I wanted to show them today. But I don't know if you can see this. Can you see this at all? Okay. This is a picture that's 31 million light years away. Okay. It's the X structure that's in the middle of the core of the Whirlpool Galaxy. It's one of the most beautiful galaxies out there. It's a picture of God's love to us and back to us, say, I'm here. I love you. I'm here for you. Okay? Amazing picture. And I saw that and I go, there was somebody that was in prison and saw the video and asked if I could get a copy of it. So I took a picture off the screen and sent it to him. But that was a wow moment for me. And then on the flip side, are any of you microbiologists? Thank God. Okay. There's a molecule. It's a protein molecule that they were able to actually take a picture of. But it's called laminin. Any ever heard of that? Okay. Here's the scientific picture of it. Okay. It's a little protein molecule. It's the molecule that controls and tells every other cell, a molecule in your body, what its role and what its position is. Okay? And here's the picture of it. And here's the microscopic picture of it that they were able to take. I don't know if you can see that. Another cross. One of the wows I got during this last week was learning to appreciate the significance of the cross. I grew up in a church that we never talked about the cross other than that Christ was hung on the cross. We never talked about it. The cross represents Christ, represents us. This molecule holds everything together. Christ in the universe holds the universe together. He has a plan for each of us to make everything complete. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and their expanse declares the work of his hands. Night after night, they remind us of just how small we are and how huge God is. Looking out into the far reaches of the universe, we find a seemingly infinite expanse of mystery and wonder, intricacy fashioned by a God of unfathomable size and power. Just a glimpse of one of the billions of visible galaxies he has formed resizes us, shrinking us and the world as we come home to seeming insignificance in an instant. But as tiny as we may seem, the God who knows every star by name also knows yours and my name. And in the most stunning rescue imaginable, God sent his son to the spinning planet we call home, the creator reconnecting us to himself with life that never ends. With faith, we can move mountains. We all have mountains to move. What mountains are you going to move? Talk about grace. Grace is Christ's and God's perfect love for us. It is charity. It's the pure love of Christ, which is being able to hate the sin, but love the sinner. It gives us hope and pure knowledge, a firm hope in Christ based on knowing him. Hope is more than a wish, but it's knowing Christ. It's knowing that he knows us. He gives us knowledge. He gives us that knowledge of the reality of his existence and his relationship with us. If you'll turn to, well, not turn to, but Ephesians. I don't know if that's on the screen. Okay. Chapter 1, verses 2 through 7 in the King James translation. Paul is speaking to the Ephesians. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of grace. So God, loving us, gave his Son and took his blood to pay for our sins. And verses 1 through 13 through 14. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, with that pure hope, with that knowledge, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And going on in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desire and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that ye have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that ye have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Because of his amazing grace, God does not trust us as our sins deserve. God does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. Long before you ever decided what you were going to do with God, God decided what he was going to do with you. That was not to give you what your sins deserve, but to give his Son for what your sins deserve, and to give us the gift of God himself, and to share a life story with him. Isaiah sums it up. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. In James, he tells us the law that Christ gave us. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. And in Galatians 5 and 14, the entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. And in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 45, ye have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his Son to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? I still have a hard time praying for tax collectors. Okay. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, from the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And verses 14 and 15, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Kind of heavy, isn't it? We all want forgiveness, but how many of us are really willing to forgive? That's been my biggest struggle in my life, is learning how to forgive others. About 20 years ago, I was in a church meeting and a priesthood meeting, and they was having a lesson. They was talking about forgiveness and stuff, and the instructor of the lessons asked us why God let, or the question was asked, why does God let us hurt each other, and why does he let us sin against each other? And I was, you know, young and bright and thought I was pretty cool, so I made the statement. God lets us hurt each other so that we can learn how to forgive them back, so we can understand how God felt when he forgave us. And everybody went on the rest, they used that the rest of the lesson and talked about how great that was. A couple weeks later, I was terminated from my job, unjustly so. There was a kind of a political war going on. And I became very bitter and full of anger and had a lot of hatred for years. I forgot the statement that I'd made before. And so I hurt myself for a long time, and it held me back from a lot of opportunities I maybe could have had. Then up at Synergy a month ago, I really recognized that again. And that was lifted from me. And I'm really working hard to make sure that I've totally forgiven anyone or anything that comes to my mind. I've had the power to let it go and to not have the anger and bitterness swell up in me anymore. Bitterness poisons mostly the one who harbors it in his heart. It generates hatred, and whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that murderer hath not eternal life abiding in him. Generally, the hated one does not even know or care how bitter is the animosity leveled against him. He may sleep at night and enjoy a reasonable peace. But the one who hates estranges himself from the good folk, shrivels in his heart, dwarfs his soul, and makes of himself an unhappy pygmy. I'm already short enough. I don't need to make myself any shorter. My legs are just barely long enough to reach the ground. Forgiveness is a miraculous ingredient that assures harmony and love in our lives. Without it, there is contention. Without understanding and forgiveness, there is dissension, followed by a lack of harmony, and this breeds disloyalty. On the other hand, forgiveness is harmonious with the spirit of the gospel, with the spirit of Christ. This is the spirit we must possess if we would receive forgiveness of our own sins and be blameless before God. Mark chapter 11, verses 23-26, talking about faith. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that will happen, what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatsoever ye ask for in prayer, believe that ye have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if ye hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Until I started was preparing for this talk, I always heard that scripture about moving the mountains, and always dreamed that, yeah, if you have faith as a mustard seed, we can move a mountain. Well, I went out and prayed a lot of times, and the mountains never moved. They still stayed the same. The rocks and the weeds and everything were still there, the trees. I could never get a mountain to move, so I felt like I really didn't have faith. I was just totally taking that literal. Now I understand that the mountain is any barrier that we put between us and God's grace. In my case, I realized that it was a need to move a whole mountain range. What mountain are you going to remove today? Sean? In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19, Paul, in his speech that I started off with, gives a prayer. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. And the psalmist wrote, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt us with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Appreciate the picture. He's removed our sins so far from us. Christ's grace and love expands to the far ends of the universe. It is for all of us to accept him, who follows when he says, "Come, follow me." Our work is to accept him and his grace and be free. He knows us each one individually. He holds the universe in the palm of his hands. He will not let you go in your time of need. If you trust in him and his grace, his blood was shed for all of our sins. Christ knows our shame. He knows our messes. He knows our failures. The shadow of Calvary, the shadow of the cross of Jesus Christ is cast over us here today. Because of that, we have freedom. We have cleansing. We have forgiveness. We have newness. We have washing. There's no longer condemnation. Guilt is over. Shame has been done away with at the cross of Jesus Christ. This is the astronomical and infinite grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Will you go with me in prayer? Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the many blessings. We thank thee for thy grace, for that untold mercy. We thank thee for all thou hast done for us, all thou hast given for us. We thank thee for all that the price thou hast paid. We ask thee to bless us this day, that we may recognize our mountains that stand before us, the barriers that we hold between us, be they depression or guilt or sin, injustice, cancer or illness, the darkness of death or poverty or strife. Be we abandoned or divorced, be we lonely, have we been wrongfully accused, if we're bankrupt, if we have addictions, if we have pain and envy, help us lay them at the foot of the cross. Take them from us. Let us receive thy love, thy healing, and thy grace, and thy mercy. Bless us with thy love and thy power and thy grace and thy peace this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.